Good evening. Well, it's been a while since I've been in Mahwah. I looked at my records tonight, 2022. It's a little while.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Perhaps we'll just bow our heads and pray before we jump into the Word. Our God and Father, we, as always, feel both privileged and very humbled to have the Word of God before us, have your Word in our hands, and to comment on it, O Father, when we consider ourselves that we have no competency or sufficiency, but our confidence and sufficiency and competence must be in you, O God. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit who has come to bring us into all truth. And I pray that anything I may say that's not according to your mind, that it would just fall to the ground and be forgotten, but that which is according to the Holy Spirit would abide in our hearts. And we know, Father, that your word doesn't go, when it goes forth, it doesn't return unto you void, but will return unto you and bring forth that which it has been sent for, and that will bring forth fruit. And we know that God will give the increase, and so we just commit ourselves to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So read a couple of verses and then we'll make some comments. Matthew chapter 17. We see in verse 2 that the Lord Jesus was transfigured before them, before the disciples, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. But just want to notice verse 5 here, while he was still speaking. And then we come to, just leave your finger here, and we'll go to Luke's Gospel. Chapter 22, Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 60. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly while he was still speaking. And finally, Acts chapter 10, the book of Acts, or Luke's Gospel, book 2. Acts chapter 10, Peter's preaching here in verse 43, to whom all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word while Peter was still speaking. We'll go back to Matthew 17, and I hope, or you probably have seen at least, what I'm pointing out here, or the emphasis, I should say, in each of these three passages that I read, was that while Peter was speaking, he was interrupted by God. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, divine interruptions. This message sort of came to me around just towards the end of the COVID period, the pandemic period, when we were all shut down. I don't know about you guys down here, but we were pretty shut down up north. And, you know, it was an interruption. It was an interruption in life. And this sort of came out a bit at that time. And so we see here Simon Peter interrupted by God, by divine persons. The first passage, he's interrupted by the Father. In Luke 22, he's interrupted by the Son. Well, it's a rooster, but the rooster is acting on behalf of the Lord Jesus there. And then in Acts chapter 10, he's interrupted by the Holy Spirit. So he's interrupted while he was still speaking by the divine persons, by the Trinity. And so the first one here, we see Peter is interrupted by the Father. And we know the story here. Most of us, I know, here tonight, or all of you are students of the Word, and you know that this is the transfiguration scene when the Lord Jesus was glorified in the presence of Peter, James, and John. And we know from Peter's own comments on it in his second epistle what was happening there. You know, he in his second epistle said, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power of his coming, the coming of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, of his kingly glory, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when he heard such a voice come to him from the excellent glory. And this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. And so what Peter basically is saying there, and looking back in retrospect, that they had a vision, a picture of the power and the coming of the king, of the kingdom, his kingly glory, his majesty. So it was like a preview, it's like a preview of what it will be like in the millennial kingdom, in the kingdom age of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see him glorified, and we see the saints glorified with him, represented by Moses and Elijah. So we know all this, and I'm not going to go into all the details of it, but I want to focus on this interruption, this divine interruption, while Peter was still speaking. You know, it says here, and this hit me one time, I don't know how it is in your translation, but in verse 4, it says, "Then Peter answered and said to the Lord Jesus," he answered, but no one had asked him a question. and that's Peter, right? Peter was a fellow who was the natural leader of the disciples. You know, he was a type A personality, a guy who just speak his mind. And usually when he spoke, he was speaking what the other disciples were thinking anyway, but were too afraid probably to say. But that was no hindrance to Peter, right? He just, whatever came into the mind, came out of the mouth. You know, that's Simon Peter. And my daughter Mary here tonight, she always used to tell me that, "Dad, you have no filter." And she's probably thinking, "You still have no filter." Well, see, that's Simon Peter, you know, just, you know, what comes in here comes out there, you know. And so it is with Peter. You know, Mark Twain said, "It's better to say nothing and be thought as a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt," right? But that's really exactly what the Proverbs say. Proverb 17, verse 28. He says there, "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace." Even a fool is counted wise. "For you want to look smart, don't say anything." That's the moral of the story, right? And there's another little thing here, though. The words are important. You know, it does say in Proverbs that the power of life and death is in the tongue, you know. And so many times in life, when you look back, you think, "Oh, why did I say that? Why did I say that?" You know, and we can hurt people and say things we probably shouldn't say. And a brother once said, "I'm the master of my unspoken words, but I'm the slave of words that should have been left unsaid." Isn't that true? Let's say that again. "I'm the master of my unspoken words, but I'm the slave of words that should have been left unsaid." So why is Peter blurting out here? Well, he was nervous. And we all have had that too, because sometimes if you get nervous, you sort of rattle off at the mouth, you know, sort of unintelligently, you know, babbling. And so this is really what I believe happened to Peter. In fact, if you turn to Mark's Gospel, you'll see it. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. We get the reason why Peter is speaking here. Mark, chapter 9. He sees the Lord glorified. And he sees Moses and Elijah. And that's really what impressed him probably more than anything, that he saw Moses and Elijah. So, but Mark chapter 9 and verse 6, this is Mark's account of it. And he adds this little word in verse 6. "Because he," that is Peter, "did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid." Let's read that again. I'll start in verse 5. "Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles," or three booths, or tents, "one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And then the reason, "because he," that is himself, Peter, underline that, "did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid." Like, they were all afraid, but it was Peter that, you know, was the one that verbalized it, because Peter being Peter, right? He spoke what they all felt, and they were afraid. I mean, obviously they were afraid. I mean, the Lord was glorified. Moses and Elijah were there, And so Peter makes this up, this little thing that will make three tents or three tabernacles, one for you, Lord, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. In Peter's mind, that may have made it sort of a sense. Maybe he was thinking of the kingdom, you know, and the kingdom rest, you know, where the people of God would have rest and they dwell in the booths. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles is, tabernacles, booths. Maybe he had somehow, but we'll make one for the Lord Jesus and we'll make one for Moses and Elijah. So we can see there that right there he's Peter's off base because he's putting the Lord Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah. He was impressed by Moses and Elijah. I don't know how he knew that it was Moses and Elijah. I wonder how he knew. Some have said because they were having a Bible conference, so they had name tags. Right? Was that it? You know, we put name tags on at a Bible conference? Moses, Elijah. Okay. No, I don't think so. I mean, it's a picture of the glory of the kingdom, you know, the glory of God, the kingdom age, and we'll know things intuitively, spiritually, that probably we wouldn't hear. And so he was in that atmosphere. Maybe I'm just guessing, speculating here. But anyway, he was impressed that it was Moses and Elijah. Lord, look, wow, look who you're with, Lord Jesus. Look who you are with, Moses and Elijah, you know. Well, it says in verse 5, while he was still speaking that, you know, the voice out of the glory, out of the cloud, out of the Shekinah glory, from the presence of God itself, you know, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Yeah, Peter, Moses and Elijah, they had their place, but they fade into the distance in comparison with my son. You know, like Hebrews chapter 1. In times past, God spoke in many parts and many ways through the prophets unto the fathers, but in these last days has spoken in the Son, you know. And they were just instruments to lead us to the place of seeing the Son. That's all they were, vessels, blessed vessels, but just vessels to point us to the one to whom all things come and all things will bow, the one who will be the head of this kingdom that's coming, that all things will be headed up in him, both on earth and in heaven, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, right? And so all the prophets that went before, they were just pointing to them. That's what Peter says in his epistle. You know, we have that word confirmed now because we saw him there on the Holy Mount. So Peter's interrupted while he was still speaking. And we get this voice, the voice of the Shekinah glory, the Father, the voice of the Father, obviously. Hear him. And I think this is part of the problem, was the problem for Peter and for all the apostles, is that the Lord Jesus had continually been speaking for 3.5 years, and there's no record of them at any point really understanding anything that he said. It was until after the Lord's resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we can't fault them, but we get this word, hear him. For example, if we go back to chapter 16 of Matthew's gospel, we see in verse 21, the Lord says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and from chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Notice this. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But then he, that is the Lord Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So we see Peter, he didn't accept the statement of the Lord Jesus that he would suffer and die, and it went over his head, so much so that he literally took the Lord Jesus aside from the other disciples. I have to have a talk with him type of action, right, about this nonsense, the stuff about going to the cross and dying. And the wording here is very strong in the Greek. When it says he began to rebuke him, it means to like censure or seriously warn the Lord, if you can imagine that. And really, the devil was using Peter in this effort. So now we get the voice from heaven, hear him. You have to start listening to him. And so we get this interruption. While he was still speaking, before he could get any of the rest of it out, he was cut off, a divine intervention. I think we can sort of extrapolate from that, that God can allow or bring about interruptions in our life to speak to us. You know, we had prayer tonight for ones who have this and that. You know, it can be a sickness, could be a job loss. You know, it could be one has passed away. Whatever thing it may be that comes into life. Like I said, you know, the pandemic, that when that happened and everything sort of stops, you know, it's an interruption. And in those times of interruption, God can speak, right? He can use those times to speak to our hearts, you know, because we get on a course, you know, we're hopping along our way, and then we get this divine interruption. And to hear him, hear his voice. I mean, there's so many voices today, brothers and sisters, you know it. We're inundated with voices. You know, it's coming from us at every direction. You know, news, entertainment, you know. And not all of it is bad, but there's so many different voices, isn't there, that can drown out God's voice. So we have to be exercised. And sometimes maybe God will allow an interruption that we may truly hear him. So let's go to the next one in Luke 22. So Matthew 17, he was interrupted by the Father. Luke 22, he's interrupted by the Son in sort of an indirect way. This is a very sad one, isn't it? The Lord had warned Peter in verse 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." I'm reading from the New King James. Does someone have the King James there? Could you read that from the King James? Verse 31.
22, verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desired to have you, that sift you as wheat."
And then verse 32.
"But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy..."
You see that in most, we were speaking earlier about the people in Europe and how they speak several languages, everybody speaks English and everything. All the European languages that I know of, in the personal pronouns, have a plural and singular. Like, you can tell that it's plural, singular just by looking at it. Now, I'm reading here from the New King James because it's modern English. In modern English, we've lost that distinction with the you, the second person pronoun. So I'm reading it here in the New King James. It says, "Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." But in the Old English still has the plural singular distinction in the personal pronoun. So Satan has desired to sift you, all of you, all of you, all of the disciples. But Peter, I have prayed for thee, you personally, Peter, because you are the leader. You are, you know, you. I have placed you in a special spot. And when you are restored, you can strengthen your brethren. I just point that out. I mentioned that in another message the other night, different message, but the same idea, that we have lost that in modern English, but the distinction is really there. Although down in the southern United States, they've cured that when they say y'all, right? We say y'all, then you know it's plural. If it's you, it's singular, right? So they get around it a little bit. But yeah, so the Lord, this is a very solemn thing here. The Lord specifically tells Simon Peter, that Satan has desired to sift all of you, and they all will be scattered that night. But I have prayed for thee, Peter. But if we go further on to the chapter, what do we find? We find in verse 46, it says, "Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And I think in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 41, it's specifically spoken to Peter, I think, if memory serves me. And there it says, "For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." That's in Matthew 26. The spirit is weak. Yeah, Peter's spirit was willing. Because what does Peter say in verse 33? He says, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." But the Lord had to tell him, "No, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you have denied me three times." And C.H. McIntosh said about this, that these three words are the key to Peter's failure. Three words. I am ready. Those are the key words to Simon Peter's failure. I am ready. You know, any man thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall, right? You know, Peter had been boasting, you know, Lord, if all these deny you, I won't deny you. I'll go to prison. I'll go to death. He didn't know the weakness of the flesh when Satan came with all his power. He couldn't stand before. It was a deep lesson for Peter that we see in verse 53, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. All the powers of the enemy were marshaled against the Lord Jesus and against his disciples, and they wouldn't have been able to stand. And it's important for us to realize that the flesh profits nothing. The weakness of the flesh. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we get the outcome of this, of course, in verse 60 and 61, where Peter is questioned about if he knew Christ. You know, the solemn thing is, brothers and sisters, is in Matthew's gospel, we know exactly what Peter said, or more or less what he was saying when he denied the Lord, okay? Because it says he denied him with oaths and cursing. And, you know, when we read that, it's shocking. Peter, you denied the Lord. You denied the Lord, but you denied the Lord with oaths and cursings, like swearing. He did. That's he did. And it was a deeply humbling lesson for Peter. Someone has said, sin will take you deeper than you want to go, detain you longer than you want to stay, and leave consequences that you never intended. You know, that's the flesh, isn't it? Where it will take us. Even believers, as believers, even. That's the reality. And so it's good to realize our weakness. And while Peter was saying this, right, verse 60, immediately while he was still speaking, in the course of denying the Lord and denying the Lord with oaths and cursings, he heard the rooster. The rooster. You know, there were a lot of roosters in Jerusalem that night or early morning. There's only one of them crowed. You know, God is over the creatures. Peter only heard one, right? And that awakened him, didn't it? It says, and then he remembered the word of the Lord. This was the Lord Jesus speaking to him through this rooster. You know, God's over his creatures, isn't he? Balaam's donkey and the ravens that fed Elijah and the cows, you know, the two cows of the Philistines, how they went against their nature and they went back to the people of Israel. You know, Jonah getting swallowed by the great fish and then getting spit out again. You know, God's over his creatures. He can use them for his glory. I just saw that. I don't know if you saw that, where the guy down in Chile got swallowed by the whale. Did you guys see that? He's in a kayak. And his father was another boat videoing it. And this big humpback whale, you know. And he disappeared into the guy's mouth. He was in there all dark and slimy, right, inside this guy. He thought he was a goner, but the humpback whale decided, ooh, this is not plankton. You know, it's a human being. You know, and he spit him back out. Anyway, yeah, God's, you know, they're creatures. They go by their instinct, but God is over his creatures. And he was over that rooster that night. You know, when I go to Romania, especially when you go in the villages, the small towns out in the country, I mean, the roosters, you know. You get jet lag, and, you know, at 3 or 4 in the morning they start, you know. Well, I was in Craiova in southern Romania, and I just got there the day before, and I had jet lag, and it was really hot, and there was no air conditioning in the house, and I was upstairs. I think it was about 36 degrees Celsius, I don't know what that is, 90-something, on the top floor, and there was a Roma wedding next door, like gypsy Roma. And the music is really loud and grating to, you know, North American's ear. And then they settle down about 2 in the morning. Then the dogs start. There's dogs everywhere in Romania, right? And one starts barking, and they're all barking. And they stop and started to go off, and then the rooster started, you know, just as the sun was coming up. You know, no sleep that night, right? But anyway, here we see this rooster. The Lord used him to speak to Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord while he was still speaking. You know, God's interruption. And like I mentioned, the pandemic, you know, that was a real test for a lot of believers. It really was, right? And the question is, Peter says, I am ready. You know, we thought we were ready. But a lot of assemblies and a lot of churches were really, really tested by that, like how to handle it. And so it tested their love for one another. And some places split and, you know, pastors went off the rails and some even committed suicide. I heard about that in the States because all the pressure, their congregation was split and, you know, it tested us. It was a big interruption. You know, the world's just going on its way, then, right? So the lesson here is we need to be dependent on the Lord, not trust our own strength, right? Not boast. And this one happened to us, right? This type of attitude, it only happens to them, not to us. That's not true. That's not true. All these things test us. The flesh will be tested. And so that was a big interruption. And thank the Lord we're through it now. But let us heed the lesson. Let us learn what God is saying, what the Lord is saying to us through these types of things. So let's go on to the last one in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I do like, though, about the rooster with Simon Peter there. It was also, I think, an encouraging word, could be an encouraging thing to him, because the rooster is sort of a sign that, you know, morning is coming, you know. The resurrection was on the way, and that Jesus was in control. That's another thought. But in Acts chapter 10, we get an entirely different thing. This is after the Lord Jesus had died for our sins on the cross, after he lived amongst us for 40 days, teaching and preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. We get in Acts chapter 1. And then after 40 days, he ascended back up to heaven at the right hand of God. And now something new is about to happen. That is, the gospel was going to officially come to the Gentiles, to those who are not Jews. And guess who he uses for that? He uses Simon Peter. Peter, for what all you can say about him, he was a righteous, strict Jew, right? By the book, Jew. He really was. And we know the story here in Acts. God had told him to visit this man, Cornelius, a centurion of the an Italian, the Roman, you know, in the Roman army, centurion, a man over, you know, 100 or more men, and to bring him the gospel. And in the course of that, you see him on a rooftop, and the sheet being let down from heaven, and a voice saying to him, "Arise, Peter, and eat." You know, he fell asleep on the roof. He was hungry. And the voice from heaven said, "Arise and eat." And in that sheet were all sorts of animals, but unclean animals, animals that a Jewish person couldn't eat because, you know, only kosher, right? Only the food, Levitical food laws. You know, he couldn't eat, you know, couldn't eat pork or anything like that. And Peter said, "They're not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything unclean." But the Lord said, "No, nothing that I have cleansed is common or unclean." So this was the first lesson for Peter on this pathway to Cornelius' house, that God was about to bring in the Gentiles. And so we see him here in chapter 10, verse 35. It says that he perceived, verse 34, that in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him, and so on. So Peter begins to preach the word, preach the gospel to him. Five simple points here with the gospel he gives between verses 36, 37, and right down to verse 43. The first point in Peter's sermon is Jesus is Lord of all. And the second point in his sermon is Jesus delivers from the devil. The third point that Peter brings out, Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. The fourth point he mentions is that Jesus will judge the living and the dead. And the fifth and final point that Peter stresses is that there's remission of sins by faith in the name of Jesus. That was the substance of his message. Very simple message. You know, someone asked Brother Darby, like, what should I say when I preach the gospel? What should I preach? And he said, just preach the facts. Just preach the facts. You let the Holy Spirit do the rest, you know. Jesus died for sins. He rose again. He is Lord of all. He will judge the living and the dead. And there's remission for sins for all who believe. It's a simple message, but that's the message. And so that Peter was the message that Peter brought to Cornelius. and his household. So just preach the facts, right? So Cornelius was a righteous man, although not knowing the clear gospel. And there are a lot of people like Cornelius. There are a lot of people like Cornelius that they have a fear of God, a reverence for God, but don't have never heard the clear gospel. When I was in Romania, not last year, but probably 3 years ago, it was just at the start of the war in Ukraine, and in the meeting hall in Bucharest, they had several families from Ukraine refugees, and I was able to preach the gospel to them. So I shared a simple gospel message, very brief, about 10 minutes, a translator from Odessa, and they were Russian-speaking Ukrainians. So the message he translated into Russian. And then I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And they nodded, go ahead, you know, pray. So I prayed. And then when I finished, I opened my eyes, they were all standing. Because when someone prays, you stand. Right, reverence to God. So the reverence was there, although they were simply Orthodox believers. They had never actually heard a clear gospel before. So Cornelius was sort of like that. And he was open to the gospel. And it's a wonderful thing that we see here. But so Peter's given the gospel message. And then while he was still preaching, verse 44, while he was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And here's an important point, verse 45. And those of the circumcision, that is, his Jewish friends, some of his Jewish friends from Jerusalem were with him, who believed, they were believing Jews, were astonished. They were astonished that these Gentiles, these Romans, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, they began to speak in other languages, other tongues, and magnify God. And this was a sign. The sign was given not for Cornelius, but for these Jewish guys, right? To show, they had to see something, you know, powerful and big, you know, that God would, you know, actually give his Holy Spirit to Gentiles. And he did. He did. So Peter was interrupted here by the Holy Spirit. That's good. Sometimes the preachers need to be interrupted by the Holy Spirit. We should have sat down 15 minutes ago, maybe. We're almost done. But we just finish this off. We see something interesting here, that the Holy Spirit also interrupted Simon Peter's Judaism. We see in verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. I love that. You know, he wouldn't have gone into their house. He stood out by the gate talking to them before, when all this happened, you know. And now he goes into their house and he stays with them for a few days, because for a Jew to go in the house of a Gentile, that means, you know what's going to happen. You're going to be invited to eat. And there may be, you know, there may be bacon and Nova Scotia lobster and all sorts of weird Gentile food. And I can't be defiled by that, right? But he went in. And it's funny, not funny, but if you go to Galatians chapter 2, we see that Peter must have got a taste for Gentile food, because he's eaten with the Gentiles. And Paul had to rebuke him, because when the guys from Jerusalem came up, James and the boys, Peter ran out of the house. He didn't want them to see him eating Gentile food. He got a taste for it, right? So there was another interruption for Peter. But there's an important point here I want to stress before I sit down, and that is that this evidence was given that the Gentiles were saved, and these Jewish men saw it. And so if we come over to Acts chapter 15, this is important. Acts chapter 15, when the question came, do the Gentiles have to be circumcised in order to be saved? Do they have to follow Moses in order to be saved? It's a big question, because it concerned the very basis of salvation, of what the gospel was. That's a big question. And Peter stands up and he recounts what happened in the house of Cornelius. Verse 13, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. So he's recounting the incident with Cornelius. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, upon them. I like that, as he began to speak, because I think Peter was going to have a longer message. That message was interrupted, right? He was just beginning, but he had said enough. The Holy Spirit interrupted him. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, and so on. And then verse 18, and when they heard these things, they became silent, And they glorified God, saying, then God has granted the Gentiles repentance to life. You know, because God had made a choice. He had chosen Peter to bring this message. It says that right in this passage here somewhere. And he had those witnesses there. And those witnesses were there in Acts chapter 15. Verse 7. And when they had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the Lord. And notice this, God who knows the heart, God who knows the heart gave them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And that's one word in the Greek, the heart knowing God. The heart knowing God gave them the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, you know, because in the household of Cornelius, if we look back in chapter 10, none of them actually came to the front or, you know, walked the sawdust trail or anything like that. And they were quiet. They didn't stand up and confess the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit just came down upon them when Peter was preaching. How did that happen? Because we get the explanation here in verse 8 of chapter 15. God who knows the heart. He knew that in their heart they believed in the message that Peter was saying. And I love the conclusion here in verse 11 of chapter 15. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Peter doesn't say they will be saved in the same manner as us. He flips it around. He says that we will be saved the same manner as them. In other words, he puts the emphasis on God's grace, that God was saving the Gentiles. God, the heart-knowing God, the God who knows the heart, gave them the Holy Spirit. And so we just go back to chapter 10. So Peter, his message was interrupted by God. His Judaism was interrupted by God. And now the gospel is going out to the Gentiles. God can interrupt us. The Holy Spirit can interrupt us. May he interrupt us sometimes in our life, right? As we go along our way. Holy Spirit interruption would be a good interruption in our lives, in our homes, and in our assemblies. May the Lord encourage you all tonight. Amen.